You are listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Skylar Butenchen. It's Wednesday, May 14th. As tourism has boomed in areas of Oregon with small populations, particularly along the coast, many jurisdictions have found their budgets crunched as they try to handle the emergency response and infrastructure needs generated by large numbers of visitors. Most jurisdictions across the state have instituted their own transient lodging tax to help offset the issue. Currently, the tax revenues must be split with 70% dedicated to tourism-related promotion or facilities, and the remaining 30% is allowed for any purpose. At the beginning of this legislative session, State Representative Cyrus Javity brought two bills forward suggesting different amendments to the revenue allocation. Both of Javity's transient lodging tax bills died early in the General Government Committee. But now, a new priority bill advanced by Representative Jules Walters could change the state's 70-30 revenue formula. Walters is also a member of the Revenue Committee. She put the new bill on the committee's agenda for a public hearing last week. Javity says the bill is still a work in progress and that it might be amended to apply only to counties with a high rate of tourism. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald, online at tillamookheadlightherald.com. Last week, the Manzanita City Council approved a new rule that would restrict vehicles on Manzanita and Neocone beaches. For over 30 years, a provision said that anyone can drive the beach in Manzanita for the purpose of boat launching between October to the end of May. But earlier this year, Manzanita city leaders requested the State Parks Department remove that provision because of safety issues. The Tillamook County Board of Commissioners still needs to approve the driving ban, but Commissioner Mary Faith Bell has stated publicly that she would support it. This story comes to us through a news partnership with Manzanita Today, online at manzanitatoday.com. Three Gearhart residents are working to protect their properties from an old broken pipe that runs under their land. According to Gearhart City Administrator Chad Sweet, the pipe was likely installed over 60 years ago, and because that was long before the surrounding land was annexed by the city of Gearhart, any permits related to the pipe would have gone through county planning. The county doesn't have any records for the pipe, which has apparently caused recent flooding and a sinkhole. Julie Hamilton first discovered a sinkhole on her property on Gearhart Loop Road in 2019. She filed a lawsuit against the city, but agreed to dismiss it after her attorney was told by Gearhart's insurance attorney that the city would appeal. Sweet met with Hamilton last month to discuss the issue to see what other properties were being impacted. Bud's RV park and campground along Highway 101 has also experienced flooding. Owners Adam and Michelle Dean say their RV park has experienced mild flooding from the nearby creek in the past, but this year was much worse than usual. Sweet said that the city is willing to form a local improvement district so the impacted owners could pay for a solution over time, but he says it can't happen without the participation and approval of the surrounding property owners. Adam Dean reached out to State Representative Cyrus Javity about the impacted pipe. Javity says he recently reached out to Business Oregon and Oregon Emergency Management to seek out grant money for the problem. According to estimates, replacing the pipe could cost over $1 million. This story comes to us through a news partnership with The Astorian, online at dailyastorian.com. Oregon Governor Tina Kotek threw her weight behind a controversial bill that would allow the state to send children in foster care to facilities in other states and change the definitions around restraints and seclusions. Lauren Dake reports.
House Bill 3835 is wide-ranging and surpasses 100 pages. Proponents, including the governor, believe it will help the state's most vulnerable children receive mental health services and quality places to live.
Let's do everything we can to improve access to behavioral health services for children and youth this session.
But advocates and others involved with the measure, including lawmakers who lead both the House and Senate Human Services Committees, oppose the measure. Opponents have said the policy changes will ultimately offer fewer protections and could mean more children risk harm. The bill is currently in the House Rules Committee. I'm Lauren Dake reporting.
An unusually high number of Washington state legislative seats will be up for election this fall. KUOW politics reporter Scott Greenstone has more on why.
We are still feeling the effects of a wave of Democratic retirements last year in Washington state, from the governor's mansion to Congress, and the domino effect that created down ballot. Six seats in the legislature will be up this November, an unusually high number for an odd year election. These are low turnout years, but Republicans will try to chip away at the Democrats' majority in the legislature in purple districts like Gig Harbor.
That's the kind of district where Democrats do really well in lower turnout, because lower turnout in that district skews more towards the college-educated workers.
Ben Anderstone is a political consultant working for a Democrat running for a different district. Some of these districts, such as one in the Redmond area, are so blue they will likely have two Democrats advancing in August's primary. I'm Scott Greenstone in Seattle.
Hikers this summer should anticipate reduced staffing in national parks and forests. This will likely mean less maintenance for trash and toilets at trailheads, more obstacles on trails, and longer response times for search and rescue. But there are some small things the public can do to help out. More from KNKX environment reporter Bellamy Palethorpe.
Thousands of people use the Washington Trails Association's website and app to discover hikes and report back on current conditions. This season, digital content manager Anna Roth says those trail reports could be more valuable than ever to alert fellow hikers and the limited maintenance crews who are out to obstacles on the trails.
Definitely take a photo of it, maybe a couple, and file a trip report on WTA.org. And the advantage of that is you've sort of done some scouting that the forest might not have capacity for this year.
She anticipates more obstacles accumulating as the season progresses, and she's urging extra caution around them due to federal cuts to search and rescue. I'm Bellamy Palethorpe reporting.
A Washington nonprofit has a growing role in providing mental health resources in a rural city. NWPB's Renee Diaz tells us about the club that's been around for decades.
The Alano Club of Wenatchee has been around since the early 1970s. Now it has many different resources to support people recovering from substance use and mental health challenges. The club began as a meeting space for a 12-step program. Today, it's a recovery community organization that offers everything from peer support to job hunting help to housing referrals.
We provide a safe, social, and supportive environment to aid and assist individuals seeking all pathways to recovery.
That's Diana Honeywell, the program manager. The club offers low-barrier services 7 days a week. I'm Renee Diaz reporting.
University of Washington researchers are scrambling to save a project that helps shellfish growers and vegetable farmers. The project lost its federal funds last month. Assistant Professor Sarah Collier says the project takes excess seaweed from shellfish farms and turns it into nutrients for vegetable farms.
It's a really like a multi-win type of a thing. It makes sense for shellfish farms. Vegetable farmers are very enthusiastic about experimenting with new promising things, and seaweed is one of those that has a lot of interest.
The Blue Carbon Green Fields Project, as it's called, received a $5 million grant from the USDA to promote climate-smart farm practices. But the grant was recently canceled. Collier says work on the project has halted for now. You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you will always be able to find today's local and regional news here at KMUN.org. To contact the KMUN News Department, email us at news1@KMUN.org. That's news, the numeral one, at kmun.org.